Well, hello, this is Bob Sutherland from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the business section of Raleigh's News and Observer and the Wall Street Journal, and perhaps some from Bloomberg and Reuters. Today's reading, A Money Matters, is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They've served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, the European Union has slapped Google with a $5.1 billion fine. European authorities increased their efforts to rein in Silicon Valley on Wednesday by fining Google a record $5.1 billion for abusing its power in the mobile phone market, a steep antitrust penalty that is among the most aggressive regulatory moves ever made against a United States technology company. The 4.34 billion euro fine far The 4.34 billion euro fine far surpassed the 2.4 billion, about 2.8 billion, the European Union levied against Google last year over the company's unfair favoring of its own services in internet search results. The new penalty highlighted how aggressively European authorities are pushing to regulate tech firms in areas like antitrust, privacy, taxes, and the spread of misinformation and hate speech. The ruling strikes at a core element of Google's hugely profitable business model, providing phone makers such as Samsung and Huawei its Android operating system if they agree to prioritize its search bar, Chrome browser, and other apps over those of the company's rivals. In addition to being hit with the hefty fine, Google must now decouple the Android system from its other services in Europe, potentially losing users and advertising revenue. Google has used Android as a vehicle to cement the dominance of its search engine, said Margaret Vestager, Europe's antitrust chief. She goes on to say, these practices have denied rivals the chance to innovate and compete on the merits. They have denied European consumers the benefits of effective competition in the important mobile sphere. This is illegal under European Union antitrust rules. The fine announced Wednesday, she said, reflects the seriousness and the sustained nature of Google's actions. Well, the fall in the percentage of economic growth flowing to workers is very troubling, a worrisome sign in an otherwise bright American economy, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told a Senate panel on Tuesday. Testifying in front of the Senate Banking Committee, Powell expressed concern that the share of profits going to American labor had fallen precipitously for more than a decade and was not yet reversing course. But Powell gave an upbeat assessment of the economy's prospects, and he told lawmakers that strong economic growth will keep the central bank on a path to gradually raise rates. That's according to the Associated Press reports. Private economists said that Powell's remarks sent a clear signal that the Fed, which has already boosted rates twice this year, expects to remain on its current projected path of raising rates another two times this year. Concerns about lagging wages dominated much of the hearing. Well, students worry about loans, debt, and as closure looms, this is an article from the business section of the News and Observer out of Durham. It says the sign at the door of the Art Institute in downtown Durham this week welcomes students back, telling them to pick up their class schedules for the new academic session. But LaDaza Bell, age 19, an interior design major from Durham, didn't bother. She withdrew from the school about a week after learning that the Art Institute campus was no longer accepting new students and would likely close at the end of the year. When she asked for a transcript, she was told she owed more than $2,000, even though her last statement said she owed $600. Bell had applied and been approved for a loan for the new term, and she has no idea what will happen now to that money or to her future. "It's sad," she said. "We're just stuck and we're lost." Her mother, Tamara Peak, has been on the phone trying to get answers. She estimates they borrowed $40,000 so far for Bell's education. Here she's working to try to become something, and she can't, Peak said. Durham Center Education Holdings announced that it would stop enrolling new students at 30 campuses around the country, including the Art Institute of Raleigh-Durham, the Art Institute of Charlotte, and South University in High Point. Well, his story of the Greensboro man gets 32 years for a $1.6 million bank fraud scheme. Greensboro man convicted of pocketing $1.6 million in an elaborate bank fraud scheme in the Triangle in Charlotte, spending some of it on gold bullion and recording studio equipment. He's on his way to federal prison. Javier Milton Urquhart, 31, was sentenced Monday by U.S. District Judge W. Earl Britt to 32 years in prison, followed by 5 years of supervised release. A jury convicted him in March on multiple counts of bank fraud, money laundering, identity theft, and aiding and abetting. Britt ordered Urquhart to pay the full amount in restitution. U.S. Attorney Robert Higdon credited Internal Revenue Service criminal investigators with unraveling a complex trail to find Urquhart's treasure chest of hundreds of thousands of dollars. The vast majority of the illegal proceeds have not been found, according to a declaration filed by the IRS in October. Investigators tracked Urquhart's scheme back to 2013, along the way finding more than $85,000 worth of musical recording equipment, including a $2,000 Fender Stratocaster guitar. As a convicted felon with previous charges of breaking and entering, larceny, possession of stolen goods, and possession of cocaine for sales, it was illegal for him to have a gun. Those belongings, along with the computers, 2016 Toyota Highlander, and cell phones were seized, as the IRS said Urquhart had known legitimate source of income. Well, Wake County teachers will get smaller raises than they expected this year, and high school students will have to pay more to park at school to help close a $25 million budget gap. The Wake School Board approved Tuesday a list of budget-cutting options that school leaders acknowledge will have a painful effect on North Carolina's largest school system. Among the changes are reduced raises, higher fees, teachers having to change jobs to stay employed, and not hiring as many workers as hoped to help with the mental health needs of students. School board members tried to shift blame for the cuts onto state lawmakers, accusing them of not doing enough to fund public education. "We'll continue to pass a budget with lots of hesitation and disappointment, but recognizing that it's important that our teachers, our students, and our school community at large know where we stand," so said school board chairwoman Monica Johnson Hosler, as she said before the vote. Well, the Department of Justice is appealing judges' okay of AT&T mergers. Stung by a federal judge's dismissal of its objections to AT&T's mega merger with Time Warner, the Trump Justice Department is challenging the decision with a legal appeal. The Justice Department said in a one-sentence document Thursday, it is appealing the ruling last month by U.S. District Judge Richard Leon, which blessed one of the biggest media deals ever following a landmark antitrust trial. Leon rejected the government's argument that the phone and pay TV giant's $81 billion takeover of the entertainment conglomerate would hurt competition, limit choices, and jack up prices for consumers to stream TV and movies. Leon's ruling allowed Dallas-based AT&T to absorb the owner of CNN, HBO, Warner Brothers Studios. The Justice Department's appeal is lodged with U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, a step up from the federal district court where the six-week trial unfolded in the spring. The merger was swiftly consummated just 2 days after Leon's June 12 ruling, and almost as soon as the Justice Department signaled it would not seek to temporarily block the merger while it pondered an appeal. The deadline for closing the merger was June 21. Well, China says United States companies should lobby over trade from Beijing. China tried to step up pressure on Washington in their growing tariff war Thursday by suggesting United States companies lobby American leaders, while a Korean union warned President Trump's threat of higher auto import duties could lead to job losses in Alabama. Beijing and Washington have yet to resume negotiations over the dispute that led to tariff hikes each other's goods last week, said a spokesman for the Chinese Commerce Ministry. We hope American companies do more to lobby the U.S. government and work hard to safeguard their own interests, said Guo Fang at a news conference. While U.S. companies and lawmakers have criticized Trump's tactics, Guo's statement was an unusually direct attempt to rouse domestic American opposition. Beijing frequently rejects foreign comments about its own policies as improper interference in its affairs. Gao gave no details. His remark about lobbying was missing from official transcript on the ministry's website, suggesting that officials recognized its potential sensitivity. The Trump administration imposed a 25% tariff on $34 billion of Chinese goods Friday, in response to complaints that Beijing steals precious companies to hand over technology. Beijing responded by imposing similar duties on the same amount of imports from the United States. Well, the solar energy is growing fast in North Carolina, but restraints stifle the wind power. Clean energy is becoming an increasingly important part of North Carolina's economy, a national report by an environmental organization released Tuesday shows, although it does lag in some measures compared with other states. The report measures North Carolina's growth in wind and solar energy, electric energy efficiency programs, electric cars, and energy storage. The North Carolina findings include: 1. North Carolina ranks third in the nation in the growth of solar energy production. 2. The state is 30th for wind energy, partly because of a moratorium imposed by the General Assembly. 3. It is 13th for improvements in electricity energy efficiency savings. 4th, 10th in electric vehicle charging stations, 5th, 17th in electric utilities. Let me back up on that one, please. 17th in electrical vehicles sold, and 20th in battery storage capacity. There are about 1,000 clean energy companies in the state with more than 34,000 full-time jobs and $6.4 billion in annual revenue, so said Drew Ball, Director of Research and Policy for Environment North Carolina, an advocacy group. A decade ago, wind and solar accounted for about 1% of energy nationally. Now, they are enough to power 31 million homes. if those sectors continue to grow at just one-third of the current rate, the nation's electricity needs will be met by 2035, according to the report. Renewable energy is a bigger part of the economy, but also contributes to a cleaner environment and health benefits such as prevention of asthma, heart attacks, and lung cancer. This report should be uplifting news for anyone who cares about the health of North Carolina's families and our economy, Ball said. The report was presented to reporters in a conference call with Ball and representatives of Wind, Clean Energy, and State Department of Environmental Quality. It was co-written by Frontier Group and National Public Policy and Research Organization. Well, unfortunately, Raleigh loses out on the Army Futures Command Center. In the end, Raleigh didn't pass muster. After months of lobbying and review, North Carolina leaders found out Thursday that it did not win the Army's new Futures Command Center. The headquarters, which will be home to about 500 uniformed and civilian staffers and headed by a four-star general, will instead go to Austin, Texas. That was reported by Bloomberg last week. They also first reported on Twitter, citing a person familiar with the decision. The News and Observer obtained confirmation from two federal sources that Raleigh had not been picked after the Army on Thursday notified advocates for the cities that missed out. Texas leaders were quick to celebrate. "We will now play a leading role in ensuring our national security," U.S. Representative Lloyd Doggett, a Texas Democrat, said in a statement. In the Triangle, United States Representative David Price, Democrat Chapel Hill, said he was disappointed by the news. He goes on to say North Carolina is a growing hub of technological innovation, as well as the home to the Army Research Office, and one of the largest military populations in the country. Added that he will continue to advocate for robust federal investment in our state. The Futures Command headquarters had been assigned the task of ensuring the development of new missiles, cannons, tanks, and aircraft for modern warfare. Army leaders launched the search in the winter, and from the start said they wanted to put the new headquarters in the city with a good mix of academia and industry. Service Secretary Mark Esper has said the Army wants scientists, engineers, and theorists at its fingertips and believes you're not going to get that at a traditional troop post. The finalists were Raleigh, Austin, Boston, Minneapolis, and Philadelphia. They emerged from a search that initially looked at 30 cities. A ground team scouted each for office space before Army Undersecretary Ryan McCarthy and Futures Command Task Force Chief General Eric Wesley visited them for a last look. Well, a former Raleigh real estate developer was sentenced to 27 years in federal prison Thursday, 10 months after pleading guilty to federal bank and wire fraud. James Webb was accused of defrauding investors out of millions of dollars through a real estate scheme that spans several states. In March, he pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit bank and wire fraud in U.S. District Court on Thursday. According to testimony at the sentencing hearing, Webb operated various real estate companies during that time, among them Alpine Properties and Well Builders. He told investors he would buy, renovate, and resell properties to first-time home buyers. But prosecutors say Webb instead used their money to fund a lavish lifestyle. Well, U.S. retail sales rise at a healthy 0.5% pace in June. U.S. retail sales rose at a solid pace last month despite higher prices and modest wage gains, a sign of underlying consumer optimism. The Commerce Department said Monday that sales at retailers and restaurants increased 0.5% in June, following a big 1.3% gain in previous month. May's figure was revised sharply higher from an initial estimate of 0.8%. Americans are confident about the economic outlook, with the unemployment rate near an 18-year low and the economy accelerating after a sluggish start to the year. Now, economists see employment and sales growing. Most U.S. business economists expect corporate sales to grow over the next 3 months and hiring and pay to rise with them. But a majority of the economists surveyed by the National Association for Business Economics say the corporate tax cuts that the Trump administration pushed through Congress have yet to affect their plans for hiring or investment. The administration had promoted its tax cuts, which were heavily tilted toward corporations and wealthy individuals, as likely to raise worker pay and promote corporate investment and expansion over time. Well, Bank of America, their second quarter profits jumped 33% from a year earlier. The company stated this on Monday. As like nearly all other banks, it benefited greatly from the new tax law. The bank also benefited from the recent rise in interest rates, allowing it to charge more for customers to borrow. The Charlotte, North Carolina-based bank, and it said it earned $6.78 billion, up from $4.75 billion in the same period a year earlier. On a per-share basis, Bank of America earned 63 cents a share, beating projections of earnings of 57 cents, according to industry analysts. Well, Tesla's CEO, his tweets may come to hurt his business. From the Associated Press, whether it's investors betting against his stock or reporters or analysts who ask tough questions, Elon Musk has fought back, often around the clock, on Twitter. In the past few months, the Tesla and SpaceX CEO has become a bigger, more snarling presence on social media. But when Musk called a British diver involved in the Thailand cave rescue a pedophile in front of $22.2 million Twitter followers Sunday, he may have gone one tweet too far. Please excuse me. The tweet, later deleted, sent investors away from Tesla's stock and could expose a temperamental rocket scientist to a libel suit. In the tweets, Musk strayed from a vigorous defense of his company's into personal insult with no facts to back it up. This has nothing to do with defending Tesla, said Eric Gordon, a business and law professor at the University of Michigan. This goes over a line where he can't claim, well, my big sin is that I go too far in defending the company. In a TV interview, British diver Vern Unsworth criticized Musk and SpaceX engineers for sending a small submarine to help divers rescue the 12 Thai soccer players and their coach from a flooded cave. The submarine was not used. Unsworth called it a PR stunt and said it wouldn't have worked anyway. Musk responded with a tweet branding Unsworth as a pedophile. In a second tweet, Musk said he bet the claim was true. Unsworth told CNN he is considering legal action. A Tesla spokeswoman wouldn't comment on the tweets. For the first 4 months of the year, Musk was averaging around 100 tweets a month, but the tweets spiked about 400 a month starting in May as Musk was under pressure to raise production of the Model 3 lower-priced electric car, which starts at $35,000. Mark Spiegel, an outspoken hedge fund manager who has been betting on Tesla's stock falling for years, said the tweets are showing Musk's fans his true personality. The company, which has had only two profitable quarters, is in deep debt and will have trouble meeting Musk's prediction of a profit in the second half of the year. It's all based around this rabid Elon Musk fan base. once that fan base starts to see what kind of person they've been worshiping, they will turn on you on a dime. Spiegel likened Musk to Trump, saying the two men have an amazing amount of personality defects in common. Tesla's stock fell nearly 3% Monday to $310 a share, even though the broader market was up slightly. Well, the average price of gas in the United States drops to $2.94 a gallon. The average price of regular-grade gasoline in the United States fell a penny a gallon over the past 3 weeks to $2.94. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg of the Lundberg Survey said Sunday that the average price is 63 cents higher than it was a year ago. Lundberg says prices at the pump may continue to slip slightly, due in part to weak gasoline demand caused by the higher prices. The highest average price in the contiguous 48 states was $3.74 in the San Francisco area, and the lowest was $2.52 in Baton Rouge. Well, President Trump named the European Union as a top adversary of the United States and denounced the news media as the enemy of the people. He said that before arriving in Helsinki on Sunday on the eve of his high-stakes summit with Russia's Vladimir Putin. Trump and his top aides were downplaying expectations for Monday's summit as Trump continued to rattle allies by lumping in the European Union with Russia and China after barnstorming across Europe, causing chaos at the recent NATO summit and in a trip to the United Kingdom. Trump spent the weekend in Scotland at his resort in Turnberry, golfing, tweeting, and granting an interview to CBS News, in which he named the EU a bloc of nations that includes many of America's closest allies at the top of his list of biggest global foes. He goes on to say, "I think the EU is a foe, what they do to us in trade," adding that you wouldn't think of the European Union, but they're a foe. He said that Russia is a foe in certain respects, and that China is a foe economically, but that doesn't mean they are bad. It doesn't mean anything. It means that they are competitive. Trump has been reluctant to criticize Putin over the years and has described him in recent days not as an enemy, but as a competitor. On Sunday, Trump flew to Finland, the final stop on a week-long trip that began last Tuesday. Near Trump's hotel, police roped off a group of about 60, mostly male, pro-Trump demonstrators. Well, Duke and Microsoft collaborate on a research hub. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, and they've served our community so well since 1974. They can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org.